Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Well, hallelujah. Lord, we just present ourselves to you, sir. Lord, we present ourselves. We ask you to take us up into your realm. We ask you to take us before the throne. Bring us into the Holy of Holies. I ask you to speak right into our hearts directly. Help us to know how you look at things, how you see things. Hearing him say, I'm releasing angels.
To the seat on the land, and another soul alone.
To prepare the way.
And another land, and preparing a way for you, making a way where there is no way for you. A way in the wilderness,
a way in the wilderness,
a new path.
He says, I'm making a road where there was no road. Because, see, I'm going to do a thing that's not been done on the earth before. And I need my people made ready. There's someone in here, I think more than one. For years, God has been speaking to you about something you're going to do. And in the natural, it makes no sense that you would do this thing. This person, I think it may be more than one, but there's one really strongly I'm getting this for. God has spoken to you for years about something you will do, and it is a work of the Spirit. And you were called here this weekend by God, even though in a lot of ways it didn't make sense to you that you would come here. But you obeyed God. Because God is doing a thing, a work of preparation, and often he'll draw you into the vein of the Spirit with other people in the same vein. And it's a work of preparation because that thing he told you will do, you know, some things, some callings cannot be done in the natural. Some can. That's where we get in trouble, right? People get a calling and then they do it in the natural. Get in trouble with that, but there's some callings that literally cannot be done anyway but by the Holy Spirit. For example, a prophetic ministry can only be done by the Spirit. So if you have a prophetic ministry or a ministry of the Spirit, you have to be prepared in a completely different way. Bible school is very, very good and very, very helpful, but there's some things they simply cannot tell you. And the Lord says to you, I'm releasing you. This person, he says, I'm releasing you into the prophetic move of God. You will notice an increase, a marked increase in your calling, a marked increase in the flow, a marked increase in the number of interactions you have prophetically. And the reason is, I'm sharpening you up. I'm sharpening you if you sharpen a knife in the drawer. I hear him saying, I'm calling you forth, and I'm seeing almost like I'm seeing you, but I'm seeing like a crowd of people, and I'm seeing him call this one out and that one out. And you're like stepping forth when you hear your name. It's like roll call in the army, except not quite the same format. And I see a person stepping forth and saying, here I am, here I am. I'm ready now. I wasn't ready before. I didn't get it, but now I get it. Lord says to you, I've been preparing you all your life to do certain things, but there were some pieces missing, and so I had to bring you forth to give you those pieces. I see pieces of understanding coming in, just even over the next weeks. I see some of you sitting in your prayer chair and going, oh, that's what you meant all those years ago. I thought you meant something else. Now I see what you were doing. And I saw that when you stepped forth, when your name was called, I saw you left some things behind, like you stepped out of your old spot into a new position. But I saw that where your old spot was, you left some things behind that no longer fit. They don't fit who you are and what you will be doing, because you're changing position. It's a holy calling. And sometimes when you have a holy calling, you step forward, and it's kind of like, you know, it's not that you love anyone less, but you just see them from a different position. You know, God calls you into a place in the Spirit, in Him, and you'll actually help people more from that place. So some people will say, I don't understand, you seem different. Well, it's because you'll be in a different place, functioning in a different function. But this is what the last day is about. Think how differently Peter functioned at the end from the beginning. Remember how much he changed over the course of time? And the Lord says, I'm bringing you into a new place with a new understanding, new wisdom. Same Bible, but a new understanding of those words, new doctrinal understanding. Now, there's some words I wrote, he says, that can't be understood without heavenly enlightenment. They can't be understood without Holy Ghost help. someone here, you've looked and looked for the right school to prepare you for the ministry. You know God has told you there's some things you're going to do. But there are some things you'll learn at the feet of Jesus. And schools are good. But there are some things Jesus will take you right into his room and teach you how he did it. How can you learn unless you learn from the Master? And he has a spirit of wisdom and understanding to give. And I hear him saying, I'm releasing some things in this day that will help you understand who I am and what I am just about to do, and to prepare you to be right in the center of it. I want to prepare you, he says, to be right in the center of what I'm doing. Because I have called you with a holy calling, a holy calling, a holy calling. And so that's why he's saying, I ask you to come out from among them and be separate. I ask you to change, because in order to carry what I'm going to have you carry, you won't be able to be like everybody else. But that's a good thing. And some people won't understand it. They won't understand why you've changed or why you're a little different. You may even come off sometimes as distant. It's not that you're distant. It's just that you're located in a slightly different position, you see.
This world, you've been set apart.
seeing a picture of the Lord watching over a little baby, and the little baby fingerprints being taken, and him saying, "That's mine, that one's mine." And he's like a proud father. Some of you haven't felt always wanted, you know, but I feel like God is saying, you have been so wanted, so chosen, so picked, so handpicked by me. Even from that day, handpicked by me, I knew you then. I watched over you then. And some of you took some feelings of almost like abandonment, or maybe not being wanted by your family. But God's saying, don't you get it? I'm your family. I wanted you. I ordained you. I picked you. I picked you. I picked you. And I made you holy. I called you holy. I called you mine, sanctified, set apart. And all this work that I'm doing in the Spirit, it's a work of preparation, a work of cleansing, a work of making you ready for that day. So I'm so proud of you. I want to be able to point at you and go, that's my girl right there. Look at that. I see a veil being removed, it's not the veil of the temple, this is different. It's like a veil that has caused us to see dimly. Like a veil that we sort of sometimes have seen through. And he's lifting it, he's removing it, saying, some of you are going to see more clearly than ever. And I see some people opening the scriptures with new eyes, and like almost everywhere you look, there's just a revelation. Where just the minute you look at it, I remember when it happened to me. I remember that it used to be, you know, I would read and I would study and I would try, but it seemed like sometimes it was really hard for me to grasp it, or just wasn't coming together. And it was like one day out of nowhere, something happened. It was like, I don't know, maybe like heaven opened in a way. Because then I would just look at it and be like, all of a sudden I could just see layers and layers. There's so much in it. Because see, when we pray, as we press and we break through, we press into greater and greater closeness to Him. And the closer we are to Him, the more revelation there is. It's just how it is. Says to some of you, I'm releasing you. You know, part of the reason you came this week was because I wanted to show you some of the things you could have. I wanted to show you in a more clear way what's available. I wanted to help you understand, because how can you press into something if you don't know it's available? Or how will you know to press in if you don't know what you're aiming at? And so I brought some of you to show you some things you've not seen before. And some of you, I'm giving a hunger. I'm increasing your hunger some of you used to be very hungry. You were so hungry for God. But sometimes life beats us up a little bit, and we can grow tired and life weary, journey weary. And so tonight, God is breaking off some of the weariness of the journey, some of the bumps in the road. You ever see somebody after they've been on a really long, dusty journey, and they look kind of tired and kind of haggard, a little road weary and dust beaten? And there's some of you in here that that's kind of how it's been. You've been road weary. And I saw the Lord just so gently breathing life, breathing refreshment, refreshing times, refreshing seasons. He's knocking off some of the years. He's knocking off some of the doubt. I see him knocking off some of the just road weariness. I see him releasing newness of life. I just see a few people you're sighing out, like, and you're just releasing some of the old just stuff. You don't have to carry that anymore. Some of you are still carrying burdens that the situation has long since ended. It's done, it's over, but you're still carrying the burden of that, still carrying the weight of how it came out and why did it come out that way. And God said, please don't carry that. It's weighing you down in the road. And I want you fresh. I want you refreshed and joyful and peaceful and happy and light. Hungry again. You know, it's actually fun to walk down the road with Jesus without all the burdens. I feel like he just wants to really release you. And this is going to sound strange, but some of you, he said he's going to release you to live again. Now, I want to play, but I have to stop for a minute to say this, because some things you can't, and are too hard to say while you're playing. Some of you have been through too much, okay? When you go through too much, sometimes you can go through a bit of a process where you almost die on the inside, okay? And you begin to feel numb or dead on the inside. And you know that you love God as much as ever you have. You never loved him less, but you love him as much as ever you did, but there's a numbness. And that's actually a normal thing. And it happens after too much duress. But the Lord wants you to know you're going to live again. You're going to hope again. You're going to have fun again. Some of you haven't had fun in a long time. You haven't had joy. You haven't had laughter. Some of you haven't had laughter in your house for a long, long time. You haven't laughed. You haven't really had a good belly laugh. You know, too much happened, right? But I see one person, you haven't had joy in your house in a long, long time, but I saw you standing in your kitchen just laughing and laughing and laughing and laughing. And it was nothing but the Holy Ghost. And that laughter, it brings newness, life. It brings life back where there's deadness. The Holy Ghost laugh brings healing. It brings life. And some of you are going to have joy like you haven't had in a long time, maybe ever. And there's someone here, I don't want to point people out, okay, unless the Lord makes me, I'm not going to point you out. But there's someone here that you suffered loss, and it was so hard that it almost took you out. And, you know, when you would turn to people for comfort, they just didn't know how to help you. And so sometimes people, you know, we mean well, but we don't always say the right thing, right? Sometimes when someone's in trouble, I remember when I was in trouble and I felt like every time I'd go for help, I would get Job's three friends, you know. And I would just think, shut up, shut up, shut up, you know. Because they didn't understand and they were doing their best, you know. They were doing their best. But sometimes people don't really know how to help. Sometimes it's better to say nothing and just pray. And so instead of it being comforting to you, it actually ended up being more hurtful to you. And then to make it even worse, some people started to avoid you because they just didn't know what to say anymore. It wasn't that they didn't love you, they just weren't sure how to help you. And but God, I see Him standing. I see the Lord standing right by you. And I just saw His hand on your shoulder. And I saw Him pouring into you what no human could give in comfort. What no person could ever give, no mere mortal could give. Jesus is giving. And there were dreams that you had, big dreams. You had some really big dreams. And when that loss happened, it stole your dreams. It wasn't just that you had the loss. It was like you lost your life too, because all your dreams were busted. All your hopes were ruined. You were really taken out, and you were almost completely taken out. You know what I'm talking about. But see, Satan wanted you taken out, but you're still here. He wanted to put an end to you, but you didn't quit. And God is so proud of you. You could have quit 1,000 times, but look at you. You're still here. And I saw Jesus standing by you with His hand on your shoulder. And through His hand, He was just pouring in what you need. And you might not even be looking for those dreams to be raised from the dead, because when numbness comes, you don't want them anymore. Right? When we go through a death process, there comes a point when we really don't want them anymore. The very thing we lived for and died for, and He says, okay, now I'm going to do it. We go, no thanks, I don't want it anymore. It's part of the death process. Some of you are like, what is she talking about? Just trust me. I'm ministering to somebody. But what Jesus is doing is He's raising something in you from the dead, as only He can. And the reason is you love Him with all your heart, and He loves you with all His heart. And those dreams, in the case of this person I'm talking to, those were actually His dreams. And so He still has those dreams, and He hasn't given up on you. And so I'm going to share this. I went through a very hard death process, and the day that my husband died, Edgar died, and the Lord spoke to me the very day he died, and He said, I want you to come away with me. And I thought, today? Like, right now? Like, don't I get, can I have the day off? You know, the man died 4:30 this morning. God said, I want you to come away with me. And so I made arrangements, and I went away with the Lord. And the Lord began to talk to me about some of the things that had been put on hold in my life for years. And I no longer wanted them, you know, because once it gets too hard, you're kind of like, you know, if you want to do it, you know, please go pick somebody else, you know. I love you, but please, you know, why? Because it's hurt too much for too long, right? Anybody had a broken dream like that? And sometimes that broken dream was from God. And the problem with that is if it's from God, it's part of who you are, and you can't get rid of it. You can't shake it. You try to get rid of it, and you can't, because it's part of your DNA, because it's who you are. What I do as a calling is who I am, that is part of who I am. And I remember when it was so painful, I would jokingly call my friend Carol, and I'd say, please cast this devil of ministry out of me. I don't want to do it. Please. And I was joking, but it had grown too painful. Because I knew what I was called to do, and there was absolutely no way to do it. I knew who I was, and there was no way it could ever happen. Never. It was just too messed up. And God was taking me through a process of dying to it, and the reason was that when it came to pass, I would always know I could never make it happen. Only God could have done that. Only God could ever get any credit because I never did anything right. You see? And if you didn't go through the death process, you wouldn't know that. You might somehow think you did something right. You didn't. God uses us in spite of us, not because of us. And that way, when you get that revelation, it's always with you the rest of your life. You know, people come and try to flatter you, and you just want to laugh. Like, you've got to be kidding. I was there in the dark season. I know what I was like. It was not a pretty sight. Only God could pull that off. And so he always gets the glory. And that's the whole idea. You know, that I may know him, right? The power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto the image of his death. See, so the whole thing there is, this person I'm talking to, and I think I'm talking to more than one, but particularly one, you had some dreams that you died to, and it was extraordinarily painful because you suffered multiple losses, because the one loss was a domino effect to other losses, very great losses, and you almost lost your life. The devil almost took you out. And God is raising some things back up. Oh, so I was telling you what happened to me. So the day Edgar passed away, I go away with God, and he says to me, do you remember all those things in your 20s that I told you you would do? And I'm thinking, I don't want to talk about this. Don't bring this up with me. I don't want to talk about this. He said, do you remember those things? Yes, sir, I remember them. He said, well, I'm getting ready to do them. And I'm like, you know, I'm like, first of all, if you're going to do them, that's cool, but could we not talk about this? If you want to do them, you know, hallelujah, just do them. But it hurts too much. Why does it hurt too much? Because you don't want to open the doors of hope again, because it'll just hurt again. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And so I'm sitting on this couch in this hotel, and God's telling me, we're getting ready to do it. Here's what he said to me, and I'm saying this to you. Or he's saying this to you. He said, I asked you to die to yourself that you might live unto me and carry something. We made the deal. You did your end of the bargain. Therefore, I have now obligated myself. You've obligated me because you kept your end of the bargain. Guess what? I'm obligated. So guess what, Holly? We're doing it. And we're going to do it whether you like it or not. So you might as well like it. So I had to repent. Now, this was a little hard because my flesh, the last thing in the world I ever wanted to do then was all those things that used to be the whole hope of my life. The whole, my heartbeat, all I thought about day and night is all I thought about. All I prayed into, pressed into for years, wanted it so bad I could taste it, couldn't make it happen, finally died to the dumb thing, took it out in the backyard and buried it and said, we're done. But oops, if you raise it, then we'll do it. And so now he's saying, okay, I'm raising it. And I'm thinking, I don't want to. I have a friend, he's a man of the spirit, and we used to pray together a lot. He's a real man of the spirit. And I used to say, could you go get Rob, you know, go pick Rob. Rob, I would be great at this. Go pick Rob. God got mad at me. He's very rarely mad at me, but he got mad at me. He said, stop saying that. I didn't pick Rob for this. I picked you. And I feel like he's saying some of that to some of us. There's things that he told you years ago, some of you decades ago. He told you some things you would do. And it has not been an easy course, but you kept your course. And I'm saying that, while I'm saying it, I'm seeing a captain of a ship that looks like one of those old wooden, huge, you know, what do they call it, the tall ships. And you're crossing the seas, and it's been really choppy. Lots of storms, and all you could do, you couldn't, you know, the storms where you couldn't see the stars, you just kept your course, you kept your compass true, you just kept your course the best you could, right? The winds are blowing you one way, and the waves are pulling you another way, right? Sometimes they didn't always land exactly, you know, because of the storms, they didn't always land, but you kept your course, and God is bringing you into a place that he long ago promised you, and there's a part of you that's like, yay, and part of you's like, eh, I don't want to be hurt anymore. But I feel like God is saying this to some of the people in this room, but because you were faithful, I've obligated myself to do this, so guess what? We're doing it. And we're going to do it whether you want to or not, so you might as well want to. And so when God said that to me, I said, I repent in the name of Jesus of my gratitude. I repent, Father, of not wanting to do this, because if you have something for me to do, I should be elated with great joy. So I apologize for having an attitude. I repent. Lord, I will not only embrace it, but I will embrace it with joy, and I'll do it with all my heart. With all my heart, I'm going to do this thing you want me to do. You know, I repented, because see, sometimes if we don't say it, your emotions follow what you say with your mouth. See, emotions, you might not know this, but you can control your emotions real easy by changing how you speak. Your emotions obey. If you say, your emotions can want something very strongly, A, B, C. But if you start saying, no, I really don't want A, B, C. I really want X, Y, Z. Your emotions go like this. Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Cool. Wow. Let's do that. They're so stupid. They are. Your emotions were meant to serve you. You were not meant to serve them. And what we have done in America is we've idolized our emotions. You know, I'm not really going to go there, but if you even look at some of the things on the political arena and certain lifestyles, we've elevated what we feel above all kinds of things, you know, to the point of crazy, right? Your emotions, sometimes they're just flat crazy. Sometimes your emotions, and they'll change their mind 10 times a day. I want this. No, I don't. Yeah, I do. No, I don't. Yeah, I kind of do. No, I don't. So what you do is you tell them what they want, and they go, oh, okay, because they're stupid. So if you learn how to guide your emotions, you won't have half the trouble with them that you used to have, see? So God is raising up some people in this room. I'm actually watching that. I'm seeing people being raised up into new positions. And this is great news. But it also means with it comes a knowing and a responsibility. I won't be able to do life the way I used to. I won't be able to be exactly the same person I used to be. You know, there's some places I'll never go again. And it doesn't mean, you know, a lot of you live very holy lives. I'm not even talking about that. But there's just some things that change. There's some people you won't be able to hang around with anymore. And not that you're mad at them. It's not that you're... don't love them. You'll always love them. You'll always be friends. But there are some people that cannot go where you are called to go. You know? And when you're called to certain things in God, primarily you go alone. You know? Because for one thing, you have to. There's some places you have to go alone in God. But if you're faithful, then sometimes God will find somebody in that same vein to come along and help or come along and agree in prayer, you know. You'll actually find your group of people, your people in your vein of the Spirit. You know, I couldn't preach this way in some places. Do you know that? There's some places I can go into and I would not be able to form the words because the Holy Spirit wouldn't be able to speak to them the way he's able to speak to you. And it has to do with your hunger level, and it has to do with how you've prayed, what you've asked for, how you've sought God. Some of you have been fasting. So you're pulling on heaven. And when you pull on heaven, it places a draw on the gifts of the Spirit, you see? So if you want a lot of gifts of the Spirit to be moving in a meeting, start pulling, right? You pull. That's how you do it. You can pull a lot from the throne. God is restoring hunger to someone that was just, you grew tired. You love God with all your heart. You really do, but you grew weary. And God is restoring hunger to you. And hunger is one of the greatest gifts you can get spiritually. Because if you can get hungry and stay hungry, you keep seeking him and you'll grow so fast. And if you don't lose the hunger, you'll keep growing and keep growing and keep growing. Right? Because hunger gets filled. Right? Hunger, heavenly hunger gets filled. He says, he who seeks me will find me when he seeks me with all his heart. Why would we seek with all our heart? Because we're hungry. It's okay to ask him for more hunger, more thirst. So God is raising some of you up. Some of you are going to stand in positions in the Spirit. Now, I hope you can understand me. I know this is strange speech if you're not used to it. But there's people who are being raised up into a position in the Spirit. It actually looks different. I remember one of the first times I was aware of this, we were doing a meeting called Immersion, where we just found the Holy Spirit, and I was supposed to go to the back and pray for him. And I went to the back and I prayed for him. And he's a man that's been used of God. He's taught, he's preached, he's held the position of elder. He knows a lot of stuff. But when I prayed for him, I saw him in the Spirit step into his position in the heavenlies. And I heard click. He stepped into a position, clicked into his position in heaven. And what's interesting is, when you step into your position, all kinds of things will begin to flow, because it's not you, really. Well, this isn't a hard and fast rule, okay? But by and large, it's not you that's anointed, it's your position that is. So if you're not operating in it, you're not going to have that anointing. But if you step into your position, you will step into all that that position holds. Can you understand? So to find your position is a big deal. And to walk away from it is a big deal. And so when I heard this click, I knew this guy is in a new place. Now, he didn't know any more than he did 5 minutes ago, right? He didn't have any probably new giftings in himself. But I saw, and he was an older man. And you know, I know of two ministers who, if I may name their names, you'd know they're worldwide ministers, that ministered for years in God and then came into God's position. And God told them that until that time, they weren't really in position. And so don't worry. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter. You say, well, all these decades went by. Am I too late? No, you're right on time. You're right on time. You're right on time. Because God's getting ready to do a thing. And I think we're here right on time for what he's about to do. You know, there's things shifting in the earth realm. There's things shifting in the heavenly realm. But I really believe God has called us to this place to pull away and to become centered in him and get a kind of a plan. And for some of you, your plan was, you know, this afternoon, I think, clarified, oh, this is what I'm doing now. This, you know, I'm going to get free. I'm going to get free. I'm going to open up the realm of the glory. I'm going to open it up so I can flow in what I was called to do. And that'll be different for everybody. But God is raising you up. I see God giving people new shoes in the Spirit. You know, shoes have to do with your calling. They have to do with the path that you're on, you know. And so God is releasing things about giftings and callings, and those aren't just words. Sometimes the actual, when it gets released through a word of knowledge, sometimes the actual impartation goes into the person. I see someone that you're called to carry a light into dark places, and it reminds me of the Olympic torch, kind of the way it looks. And you're a very bold person. And you may have not seen yourself in this light, but you have guts. You're a person with guts. It wouldn't faze you to walk into any kind of place, no matter how dark it is or no matter what the people are like. It wouldn't even faze you, because you have that kind of calling. And I saw you walking in with a torch. And when you walked in, the whole place lit up and people went, what's that? What is that? Because they were drawn to that light. God is releasing that into you, and you're actually going to feel the burning of it. You're going to feel the burning of it. You're going to feel the burning of it, because it's something you're called to do. And you've been called for many years to do it, but today's the day of the impartation of it. There's someone here, you have your teaching anointing in the Spirit is being released in a new way. There's teaching, and there's teaching by the Spirit. They're two different things, but I see that getting opened and released in a new way. And don't worry, I heard your thoughts saying, but it will never be recognized in my church. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. God is your manager. God is your manager. I was never accepted in the churches for a while, you know, till I got old, and now all the young pastors like me. Because I'm old. See, the old guys thought they knew everything. And I didn't worry about it. God told me that Jesus had a hillside ministry. You know, I used to feel so bad because I wasn't welcomed in the churches. I'm talking to somebody. I felt bad because why don't they want what God's giving? Why don't they want what God has? And I would never toot my horn. I don't believe in it. I don't like that. Never did like it. So I said, well, if you want to do it, you got to do it. But I had this box on my thinking that we have to do it in the organized church because that's all I'd ever seen. That's all I knew. And God took me through the scriptures and says, tell me, when did I do that? I did stop by the synagogues where I generally wasn't accepted. And then I went on the hill and healed everybody. So he's your manager. And it won't look like maybe how you've seen other ministries operate. In fact, the best ministry is one that's unique to you. And it won't. I never expected anything the way God did it. I knew he was going to do some stuff, but he did it ways that I never would have imagined. Now, we love all men. We submit, we love, and we honor, and we respect. But sometimes God just does it a different way. And, you know, when you do it enough and God starts to manifest, then they start to come to your hillside. Say, can you come to our church? Well, I would love to do that. That would be so nice. I'd love to come to your church. You see, God is doing a thing, and a lot of it in this day is going to be on the hillside. A lot of ministry is going to be done on the street. A lot of ministry is going to be done online. A lot of connections are starting to happen in the spirit. If you're an evangelist, this is your day. This is the day I'm telling you we're coming into. A day where we, all of us, will do the work of a soul winner. A lot of us who aren't really great at it are going to be great at it, because I'm telling you, we're coming to a day where there's going to be a new openness, a new kind of openness. I went on a missions trip to Belize some years ago, and it was so fun. People, all you had to do was walk down the street with a Bible, and they were coming to you saying, oh, do you know God? Asking. How to know God. So God is raising some of you up. I saw some of you. I see in pictures, and sometimes the words aren't as easy to grasp. Give me a second. I saw someone really, you've been really anchored. You have a giant anchor. And it's anchored you to your family. And your family says, that's fine, that's good. But I'm sensing a shift in the spirit. It's a new day. You know, it's a new day. And I'm sensing that God's getting ready to launch you into something new. And you'll always love your family, of course. And you'll always bless them and help them. But I see a sort of a holy disconnect, where he's launching into something new. He's launching you. That's the word I'm getting. I'm here, and behold, I do a new thing. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Some of you, there's someone in here, you're a little bit shy, but you have a lot to offer. You've been actually preparing yourself for years, but you've stayed hidden, you know? You stayed hidden away, and God is saying, I'm about to open some doors. So, you know, stop hiding. Stop hiding. Because I'm getting ready to open some doors, because all that stuff I've been putting in you, I'm going to need for you to share. I'm going to need for you to disciple people, because you know a lot. Don't let your shyness stop you. You know, I started out as a very, very shy person. Very shy. But God has something to say through you, and it's important, he's saying. There's some of you in here are going to minister to younger people. You notice most of us are past a certain age. And I think, wait, Lord, how do I help the kids? You know, how do I find them? How do I help them? But some of you have an actual gifting that's going to be able to help the kids find their way in Jesus. And I heard you're going to disciple the discipler. You're going to disciple the disciplers. Hallelujah. Well, I sat down not having a clue what we were doing, and I still don't, but I feel like I'm done with that for now. Y'all okay with this? I know it's different. Y'all okay with this? Instead of preaching, it's more interactive, not me, but the Lord and you. Because sometimes what's happening is you hear what he's saying, and then you say something back to him, and then he says something back. And I'm kind of going, okay, who said that? You know, because you placed a draw. Some of you have been crying out for years to do something. You love God. And you remind me, this person I'm talking to, you remind me of how I used to be. I loved God so much. He saved me out of so much. I wanted to do something to win a soul or do something for him. I wanted to be used of God. But I had no abilities. I had nothing that I could offer him. Nothing. No abilities at all. So I thought, well, I'll pray. I can pray. You know, and I learned how to pray in tongues. That was imparted to me. And I began to pray in the Spirit, and I thought, you know, if all I do is just pray till somebody gets saved, that's good enough for me. And I began to press in prayer. And the more that I pressed in prayer, the more my prayer life began to change, right? Because the more you yield yourself to the Holy Spirit, the more sensitive you become to Him. And one of the things about praying in the Spirit is it sensitizes your spirit man. It's the one thing you can do to exercise your spirit man, right? Because everything else is kind of an intellectual thing. And so what I found was that as I would pray in the Spirit, it was like doing spiritual push-ups. What does it say? Build yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in an unknown tongue, right? Building yourself up. You're building, you're edifying yourself. You're building up. And so, as I began to pray a lot, I became more sensitive. Do you know that when I first started, I couldn't hear God's voice at all? Ever. But as I prayed, I began to be a little bit more sensitive. I prayed. I went to the church every night, and I walked up and down for about 3 hours praying in tongues every night. And it was probably, I don't know, some months before I had my first inkling of what I was even praying about. That's how this started. Everything we do. And what happened was I was growing sensitive. And the first thing, I'll never forget it, the first thing I ever saw was the Golden Dome in Jerusalem. I had a picture. And I got so excited. I thought, oh, I'm praying for Jerusalem. It was my first real vision. Well, I had visions aside from praying in tongues, so I won't say that. But I knew, it was the first time I knew, this is what's happening when I'm praying. I'm praying for Jerusalem. And I started to write it down as God would show me things. Some weeks went by, I saw one more thing, wrote it down. I began to jot down the sense or picture or scripture, whatever I saw in the Spirit, began to jot it down and date it. And then many times, I had a special calling to pray for my church and my pastor. I really had a unction and a calling to pray for my pastor every day. I would pray for him more than me. And so I would often see things that were potential attack against him or issues in the church that need to be dealt with. And so, I would just pray. And what began to happen is as I would jot down what I was seeing, then over the next couple of weeks, I would watch it come to pass in the natural. Did you ever have that happen? Where you see a thing praying in the Spirit, and then you watch the thing play out. Well, what's happening? God is declaring what He wants through you, right? He's orchestrating through you what He wants to happen. That's why you should never quit praying too soon. Pray till you have that sense of, there, now that's done, right? Because you're bringing something to pass in the earth. Sometimes something you've been asking for. Sometimes something you've been believing for. Sometimes He'll give you a dream, and the purpose of the dream is to get you to pray about that subject, okay? And so He has us That's called being prophetic, because what are you doing? The Holy Spirit is using your voice to bring something to pass on the earth that God wants. Okay? So it's really important to become adept in prayer. If you're going to walk in any kind of power at all, you have to become adept in prayer. Some people, when you say, pray for me, they go, amen, I'll pray for you right now, and they say a sentence, and that's okay. If it's full of faith, that's good. If you're full of faith, that's good. But sometimes God may give you an unction to pray something through, where you're actually monitoring the situation in the Spirit. I don't know why we're on this, by the way, but here we are. You're monitoring the thing to bring something to pass in accordance with the will of God. Okay, it's a big deal. And some of you in this room are actually called to a lifestyle of that. You're actually called to it. You're an intercessor. And sometimes, just like, if you ever noticed in the Bible, there were some prophets that were prophets to a nation, right? Some prophets were, there are different prophets for different types of things, right? So like Rick Joyner, he's always watching the nation. He knows all about the Constitution. He's very much at a national type of level. There are some prophets that are more called to the church, right? And so it's the same way with intercessors, not all, but there's some intercessors. For 10 years, my only job was to pray for my pastor. And the guy, there were times when I didn't even think the guy liked me. And one day, we were in church, and I was kind of griping to God, because he'd been preaching the same thing just like for months and months and months and months, and I thought, we got it already, move on. And I was doing what you should never do and kind of griping to God. And God said this to me. He said, it's your own fault you're in this boat right now. He said, I assigned some things in his life to you to pray through. And he said, and if you don't do it, it won't come to pass. Man, I got convicted. And I changed my life. I rearranged my life to pray for my pastor every day because I knew it was a God assignment. And for about 10 years, that was my primary assignment. And I actually believe that if I hadn't been faithful to do that, I wouldn't have been allowed to do the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. So God's raising people up in different, I can just see different callings being, you know, lifted up across the room. I feel like God wants to say this, that some of you have carried your past with you. I alluded to this a little bit earlier, but I saw it. Actually, you know, it kind of reminds me of if you came out of the bathroom and you were trailing toilet paper stuck to your shoe. Except you were dragging your past along with you, you know. And you know how you're the only one that doesn't see the toilet paper? You know, and everybody's like, oh, I got something stuck to your shoe. Well, this is like your past has trailed along behind you emotionally. And I'm going to try to give this voice if I can. The problem with that is when our past comes along with us, it means we still have a mindset of how things used to be as though that's how things are now. Okay, did that make sense? And so what happens is our faith begins to be almost for the bad thing to happen. This is the way it's always been. Every time I do this, that happens. I'm only talking to one person, so bear with me. But you've actually gotten to a point where you actually think, every time I try this, that happens. And it's become an expected end. And so because of it, you speak that, you believe that, which are all the facets of faith, isn't it? Those are all the ways that we get faith to operate. So you're actually encouraging the cycle to continue. God loves you, and he's saying, wait a minute. When I brought you out of that, I brought you out of it, and I want you out of it, and I want to close the door behind you. I want to lock it because I want you to see in a completely new way. I want you to begin to expect good things to happen. And so there needs to be a shift. At least for one person, I think probably for more. And the way God has actually shown this to me a number of times, but what it looks like is someone, let's just say someone is in a dark hallway or kind of a gray area, and they're about to come out into the light, but do you know that sometimes people, there's an open door and there's this bright area, but they'll hang back because they're afraid of getting clobbered again. Is anybody with me? They're afraid of coming out into the light because they're afraid they're just going to get hit again. But I feel like God wants you to know, not just with your head, but He wants you to renew your thinking to a place where your heart says, I can live again. I can dream again. I can hope again. God will help me. God is for me. See, because sometimes, this happened to my own sister, my dearest sister. She had a long series of very bad things that happened to her. And she actually got to the place where she believed that she was like the guy in the cartoon with the black cloud. You know, it wasn't raining on anybody else, but it was raining on him. And she actually started to believe that she was just somehow cursed. And it was this continual cycle in her life. She was engaged to a guy, found out he was engaged to somebody else and was just using her money. Finally finds another relationship. He was a sheriff or deputy or something, and he was hauling some prisoners in that cage truck. Somehow they broke three, got shot in the head and died. I mean, this kind of stuff was just this pattern. So of course, over time, she began to just think, you know, like, God must hate me or something. She didn't really think that, but she felt like no matter what she did, and she began to have an expectation of what the bad thing was that was coming next. I'm talking to one person. And you've had this, and understandably, because we think in patterns, don't we? Right? We think in a certain pattern, you know. And so if the same pattern recurs three or four times, we begin to expect that pattern for the rest of our life. And that's a trick of the enemy. And God is saying, I want to deliver you from that pattern of thinking because I want to build a new pattern. Guess what? I actually want to bless you. I feel like you've been in the hallway long enough. I feel like you've learned enough. You've sought me enough. You came after me. You didn't quit. You didn't quit. You didn't quit, but you're here and you still love me. And by the way, I still love you. And so I want to bring you out into a lighted place. And I want you not to always be dodging the next hit. I want you to dare to believe that I have something good for you and something good after that and something good after that and something good after that. Now, is there a devil and might he attack? Sure, but I want you to know my promise is with you. My relationship is with you and yours is with me, and that's covenant. That's covenant that I'm watching over you. And then I heard, like, but why did those things happen? You know, sometimes they happen because we had an open door we didn't know we had. Sometimes they happen because the devil's just mean. I went through a series of some years where, honest to goodness, I thought I was walking around with a target on my head. It just seemed like so much happened that was bad. But God began to deal with my thinking. Everything is won or lost in our thinking. The battle is won or lost in our thinking. What lies we accept from the enemy, what lies we stew on. Do you ever take a lie and just stew on it? You know, you let it stew and simmer and you talk about it. And it can become bitterness. Now, I'm just going to say this. God showed me there's two kinds of bitterness. We're familiar with the one that is forgiveness that went into a bitterness against a person. And that's deadly. But there's another kind of bitterness that will also kill you, and it's called bitterness of soul. It's not necessarily unforgiveness or anger against a person, but it's when things have gone bad and it's just too much and you get into bitterness of soul. And it'll actually make you sick. It's toxic, right? And even doctors will tell you there are some emotions that if you steep in them long enough, they have a tendency towards toxicity or making you ill, right? And then we might say, well, God, heal us. And God says, Oh, amen. I want to. In fact, I already did. Jesus died to release your healing to you. But bitterness of soul will kill you just as fast as unforgiveness bitterness will. So it's really important that you cleanse your thinking. Because some of us poison ourselves with our thinking. I don't know why we're here, but someone needs healing. There's someone here, you have a long-term marriage, and you've not talked about it a lot, but your husband is not always kind, and he says things that, it's like a dripping of a slow poison, you know. Things are said, and you know, you hear that stuff for enough years, and you get toxic yourself, especially if you start to believe. And God's saying, I want to pump Jesus' blood through you. You need some new blood. You know, you need new blood work because this thing has gotten into your soul and it's done some damage. And we love him and we bless him and we forgive him because, you know, people do what they do because they just don't know any better. You know, they don't know any better. And we pray for him, Father. But what I'm saying to you is God is cleansing you. And I'm even seeing right now, I'm seeing him do a touch on your heart and a touch to cleanse you of toxicity. When I was in my 30s, I got very sick, but I didn't understand it because I was never sick, and I got out of nowhere just like real sick. And God said, I'm making a long story short, but he basically told me this isn't sickness. This is unresolved conflict. This is emotions that haven't been dealt with. And it's making you sick. And when you're in a situation for too long, for too many years, and you don't deal with the emotions, it can do damage, okay? So God is healing that. He's doing a healing work. And some of you will leave here and you'll cry a lot. And you'll be like, why am I crying so much? Sometimes crying is releasing some of the stuff that you've held too long. Some of you were told it's not okay to cry. It's not okay to have emotions. Just be strong. Hold it in. Well, emotions are a gift from God. They're not wrong. We need to learn how to go to God and manage them properly, okay? We need to know how to get our healing from the Comforter, the Holy Ghost. How can you operate in God if your emotions are messed up? What happened to me was I had unresolved conflict because I was taught, we're not supposed to have emotions, we're supposed to be strong. So that was part of my mask. I'm strong, I've got it together, I'm strong, good to go. How are you doing? I'm great. And every time anything bad would happen, I would just stuff it, and I was so good at it, I didn't even know I was doing it. I was so good at stuffing my emotions, I didn't even know I was doing it, and then what happened over time is they became toxic because you can only take so much of that, and that made me sick. And it took a word of knowledge from a friend to give me a clue that I actually wasn't sick. I had my hand on the phone to call 911, and the Lord said, don't call 911. You're not sick. A friend of mine gave me a word of knowledge, and in my flesh I went, oh no, but my spirit went, yeah. And so I had to get some emotional healing. Some of you are dealing with what you think is an illness and you're crying out to God to heal you. God wants to heal you, but he wants to heal you from the inside out. He wants to heal your wounds and he wants to heal. You don't have to be strong all the time. I know some of you heard this story, but I feel like I'm really supposed to go here. I was at a big meeting. It was a big Holy Ghost meeting. And I have a friend that moves in the Word of Knowledge just with extraordinary accuracy. I've never known the guy to miss it. I've never known him to give a word that wasn't accurate. And it was after the meeting, and I was just sitting there waiting for someone. And he came up to me in the hallway, and he said this, and I thought it was the stupidest thing I'd ever heard. I did not think it was God. I thought he was really crazy. And the word was this. God says that you're supposed to let everything fall apart. And I thought, that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. What do you mean, let everything fall apart? It didn't make sense to me. Well, I was in the midst of some very tough stuff, and within about 2 days, a whole bunch of more came against me, and I remembered that word and said, oh, That was God. I'm not supposed to do anything. I'm not supposed to fix this. I'm not supposed to manage this. I'm supposed to just let it fall apart. It falls apart. I'm supposed to just let it fall, let it rip. And I thank God that that guy gave me that word. There is a time when to continue being the strong one all the time is not the best thing. This is the same. We talked about this earlier. You've had the need to be the tough one, the strong one. You've always been the strong one. You're the glue that's held your family together. But there's actually damage going on. And God wants to release you from being the strong one because he says, guess what? I'm the strong one. And there are times when I need you to be a little girl in my arms. And you need to give yourself permission not to always have it together. Do you know why I can stand here and do this? Because whenever my life fell apart, which was a lot, I had a lot of struggle, a lot of years of really tough stuff, is I could crawl in bed and cry with my beloved Holy Spirit, and he would tell me what to do. He would talk to me. He would give me truth. He would comfort me. He's the comforter. He would walk me through it. He would heal me. He's been my counselor all these years. When I was so screwed up, I couldn't think straight, he would help me, and he would heal me. He's my comforter and counselor, and he's the only reason I can stand here and do this, because he made me whole again when I was so broken. I was beyond repair. I was so broken. I was not even functional. I was so sick. And one of the things that he taught me is there are times when you have to give yourself permission to just be a little girl again and crawl up in his lap and cry and blubber and say, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't even get it. And some of you have been so steeped in the, you know, I love the faith movement, and it's true. The faith works and confession works. But if we're so steeped in that we can't allow ourselves to be a little kid with God and say, I don't really get it, and I don't know what you're saying, and I don't get it. What am I supposed to do? That's relationship. And if you have a real relationship with God, he already knows this about you. And you go into him all strong and all together. What do you think, he's fooled? Listen, we may be fooled by your mask, but he is never fooled by your mask. So when you get with God, just, man, rip it off. If you're bleeding, bleed all over him. If you're hurting, cry all over him. Blubber away. He doesn't care. He loves you. But if you're all busy being strong and tough and cool and got it together, you're not going to get your healing. And you'll get to a place where you're messing other people up. Right? I don't mean to harp on this, but, you know, God wants you to give yourself permission not to carry everything for everybody all the time, because you did it for years. And you actually took, I'm seeing it now, this person I'm talking to, you took on the responsibility for your family. And you took ownership of their stuff. And you've always been the strong one, and they look to you to be the strong one. And that part is okay, but what's not okay is for you to take that role. When you're alone with God, you are not the strong one. When I'm alone with God, I'm a big baby, you know. And I tell him everything, and I talk to him like a 2-year-old, because it's a relationship. God wants you to give yourself permission, can I just say, not to be perfect all the time, because A, you're not. It's no big shock to God, oh, they're not perfect today. Oh my gosh, let me fall off the throne, they're not perfect today. Come on, who are we kidding? We have to give ourself permission, and I actually think it'd be okay in the church once in a while if we were just honest. Yeah. Oh, I have it together all the time. Really? Well, I don't. Right? What does it say? Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. Faults? I don't have any faults. Well, then I can't pray for you, can I? I'm just waiting because God's releasing something. Open. Open. I'm seeing a freedom opening in the spirit, like freedom. God is freeing people. God is freeing his people. Some of you are going to dance like little kids again. Some of you that you haven't danced in years. Some of you haven't danced since you were a little kid. And some of you are going to dance like a little kid. Some of you are going to dance before the Lord with a freedom. And you're going to be so free, you're not going to know or care if anybody's watching. Some are going to sing off key to the Lord with all your heart, and it's going to be great. Because I'm pretty sure he has a filter where it just kind of gets fixed on the way. I got a friend that is absolutely tone deaf. I mean, couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. And I love going to services with this guy. He is so full of the Holy Ghost. And he just sings. Doesn't matter what key they're singing, then he'll just sing in some other key. And he doesn't even know it. And it's just awesome because his heart is so good. I remember we went to, Lori, were you with us? It was Ronaldo. We went to a Kim Clement meeting. And me and Ronaldo were up in the front and we're praying and we're singing and we're praying. And Kim goes, there's a lot of power over there. He points at Ronaldo. I'm like, yeah, there's a lot of power over there. Singing off key, hallelujah. We're going to get free. There's a remnant of the church that's going to get free. We're going to get free to be who we are. And it's going to be okay, guess what, to be different from each other. It's going to be okay that you have that gift and I don't. And I have this gift and you don't. And you have that gift and I don't. That's going to be okay because we're whole in who we are. When you get whole in who you are, you're rejoicing that somebody else gets lifted up in their gift. You know? You're not intimidated by it. You're cheering them on. And the whole thing, it's going to be awesome when we start to really move as we're supposed to. We'll see, you know how we're the temple, we're being built together in the temple? Wait till you see a moving temple. Where everybody's moving and functioning and how they're supposed to. We've never really seen them on the earth. It's going to be a blast. It's going to be a blast. The reason I'm slowing down, you know, I could preach, I could teach, I could do that. But I really feel like the Holy Ghost is doing something interactive. I'm seeing waters being released. And they're waters of the Spirit. And I see them like cleansing your feet. Just I see these waters coming and just beginning to cleanse. You know, if you know how, some people don't know how to receive, you know, because they've been in their head so long, they don't know how to be in their spirit, and that's okay, God will help you. But one of the reasons we encourage people to soak, or maybe to close your eyes and just let God begin to touch your spirit, man. Let him begin to heal your wounds. There's still someone here, I see a memory hook. And you're like, but what about this? But what about this? And you're like stuck on it. It's a hook. And you're like stuck. And I see this water just coming and just lifting it right out and washing it away. And you know, when he washes it away, you almost can't even remember what it was like. And it used to be this thing you couldn't forget. He's doing that. I see him cleansing our thoughts. If someone here, you earlier in life, you were subjected to a lot of porn. I'm not sure if it was who, but there was someone else, probably a husband or something like that. You were exposed to seeing a lot of things. And it has caused some memory bank issues, right? When you're thinking about completely other things, these images pop, okay? And so God is cleansing that. He's cleansing your thought process. He's cleansing those images out. He's cleansing those images out. There were people here. Please forgive me for going here, but I really feel like God wants to heal some people. There's some people here that were, you were abused, and you were, when you were abused, you know, abuse comes from demons that use human bodies. And it brings confusion because we think the human did it, and yes, the human gave permission, but the enemy was really the devil. But because it's demonic in nature, it brings demonic things with it, right? Because it touches the body, so now it's attached, right? It's attached. It's more than just a mental thing. And so there's actually like three people in here. You were physically abused in ways that you shouldn't have been. It shouldn't have happened. It wasn't God's will. God would never want that for any of his kids, but the devil incited someone. And in one of your cases, it was a repeat thing. It was a repeat performance. And what happened is because of the demonic influence on the person, there was a spirit of shame, and there was some other foul spirit attached. And you have never wanted them, but they attached. And so right now, in the name of Jesus, we remove all license for those spirits. We command you to loose and let go and leave. I break that thing of shame. I break shame. I break self-blame. That is a lying spirit. One person I'm talking to, that spirit has made you blame yourself. And that is absolutely not the case. God is releasing you not only from what happened, but from the effects of what happened on your soul. I see him doing some soul cleansing, memory cleansing, washing, washing, washing. There are some things that have been a memory that are, well, they won't even be a memory. Like you would have to actually try to bring it up now because God's washing it clean. God is unhooking some things from your life. Even words. Some of you have had words spoken to you that should never have been spoken, and God is unhooking. You know, when words can be spoken that are just from the flesh, okay? Words can be spoken that are from the Spirit of God, but words can also be spoken that are from demons, all through a human. You understand? So a human can just say, you know, any human can say word or just flesh. Or a devil can use a human to speak something, and just like if the Holy Spirit uses me to speak a sentence and it goes into the heart, right? It goes into the heart like an arrow because it's not me, it's the Holy Ghost, right? In the same way, when a demon uses a person, you understand? It's a counterfeit, but it pierces like an arrow and hooks in a demonic way. And that's why sometimes when someone did something, you think, well, why did that hang on worse than other things? Because it was demonically sent. And a human gave it permission, okay? No big deal, but I'm just helping. This is how you get free. When you understand why things happen, it's easier to get free. So I'm breaking the hooks. There's someone here, you lived with a lot of verbal abuse. And this verbal abuse was actually demonic in nature, and it was because the devil knows who you are. Now, I don't know how he knows, but I know for a fact that he knows who you are. He knows when you're called. He knows it before we do. Okay, so often he'll try to take you out before you ever even know Jesus. You understand? He's got a plan and a strategy. He tried to kill Edgar 11 times when Edgar was a child, and Edgar didn't even get saved until he was 55. But somehow the devil knew that he was going to go all over the world and preach the gospel, change thousands of lives. So the devil tried to kill him all different kinds of ways. Well, there's a person in here, probably more than one, but you were raised under an especially abusive verbal environment, but it was demonically incited because the devil understood that there are certain things you're going to do in God. And so continually there has been an assault on your identity, but it started when you were born. And so God is detaching. Right now, I believe God is detaching the false identity that was attached to you. It was a lie, it's not true. But through words and through demonic intent, right? He used different people, because if you look back, you'll even see that different people often use the same phrase. Well, how is that possible? Because it's demonically incited. Because that was the assignment to try to take you out of commission so you couldn't fulfill your call. He doesn't want you to walk in your real identity, so he tries to give you a fake one. He tries to assault who you are. He tries to get you to believe that somehow you're past helping or you're unworthy or whatever his deal is, because he's trying, he's desperate to keep you in a box that you won't reach up for more because you don't think you could ever do it, because you've been told, right, by these words that were incited by the devil. You've been bound in a box or a cage. You've been held down because the devil is terrified that you're going to stand forth and say, no, no, that's not who I am. This is who I am. That's not who I am. This is who I am. Devil, get over yourself. And I actually think there's a lot of people in this room that have missold a false identity. Okay? And God is actually stripping you of the false identity, so it might feel weird for a while. Because you'll be like, well, wait, who am I? Wait till you get to see. Because God will reveal who you really are. As you seek him, you're going to find out who you're not, and you're going to find out who you are. Okay? And it's going to be really fun. Because you're going to realize you're not all those things people said. People say stupid things, you know. People don't even realize sometimes, I think, what they say. But here's something I know. No one, there isn't a person on the face of the earth who really knows who you are, not even you, but the Father does. And so the devil tries to impugn your identity. He tries to make you smaller than you are. He tries to get you to believe, and it could be a million different ways, that you could never rise up to do what you're called to do. Oh, I'm too shy. I'm not well-spoken. Look at the scriptures. God shows up to Moses, and Moses immediately disqualifies himself. You know, now you know, Lord. Lord, you know that I don't speak well. Tell him God what he's not able to do. You know, my guess, when Moses was little, they were going, Moses doesn't talk well. Moses has a daughter. Right? Because they're trying to get him to buy the lie. But God wanted him to talk. And it actually irked God that Moses undersold himself. Did you catch that? It bugged God when Moses undersold his own ability. Because you know what you're saying as well? I'm going to do this all in my ability. You don't have an ability. You're going to do it in my ability. And if you think you're going to do it in your ability, you're sadly mistaken anyway. You don't have any ability. So big surprise. You don't talk well? What, really? What, A, I didn't know that. Right? So we come up with all these reasons we can't do it. And we've already bought the package. And it becomes this idea of who we think we are. Well, I can't do that. I'm shy. I don't speak well to people. I can't look people in the eye. Whatever the lie is. I'm not smart enough. I don't understand the scriptures well enough. I don't this, I don't that, I'm not this. All stuff you were probably told that you believed. Can I just say to you, you are an immortal being in a mortal body. You are a heavenly immortal being that will live for eternity stuck in a mortal body. Why do you judge yourself by outside? Or some carnal ability. Who cares about that stuff? See, the world for years stuck stuff in front. You know, if you're like a size 2, you're too big. What's a 2? How about 2X? And they have these people that are so skinny that they actually look like they're inside out now. And they paint them up to look dead. So you got these dead, skinny, inside-out looking people. And if you're not careful, you might start to think, you're supposed to be looking like that. Please, don't look like that. And they stick this stuff in front of your face. If you're looking at worldly stuff, billboards, magazines, everywhere online, you're supposed to look like that. And you're, you know, It's ridiculous. We dance to their tune. Oh, pants are skinny now. Let me run out and buy skinny pants. Come on, really? I got to buy skinny pants? When you have big legs, you just don't look good in skinny pants. Okay, can I just do y'all a favor and not with leggings? Good Lord. That's a bad idea. Listen, if you're over a certain size, let me just say, I'm not wearing leggings. Okay, I'll wear jeggings then. Right? We just dance to everybody's tune. Oh, the hair's this way now. Blob hair, whatever they call it. Lob, the glob, and the lob, and the blob, and the... Right? They change it, right? And it's all about, really, it's all marketing. So everybody dances to that tune, you know? And I'm no different. I got skinny pants. I went to Chico's. Hallelujah. But what I'm trying to say is the world has this entire class system of identity, and it's all garbage. And the church bought into it, right? We bought into it, and so we've tried to measure up to all these stupid things that don't even really, they aren't even going to matter. They're not going to fry all that stuff. It's all going to fry. It's going to burn like straw. None of that stuff is going to matter. So people that acted like they were cool and you weren't cool, one day you're going to all cross over and they're going to be like, oh man, I wish I had what you have. I wish I'd have known what you knew. I wish I'd have followed God like you did. Our standards have to change. Our identity has to change, and you need to change the mirror you are looking in. I don't mean physically. You need to begin to look in heaven's mirror. Because inside of you dwells this immortal being, this your born-again spirit. You know, in the scriptures, it talks about put on the new self, which is created after the image of his holiness. What's your new self? It's the new you. You weren't just forgiven, you were recreated. How were you recreated? Because when you said the sinner's prayer, if you said it and meant it, you were literally a new creation in the realm of the spirit. A new creation, a new person in the spirit. God's kid. Born of God, born from above. Come on, think about what happened in the spirit. Did you ever think about this? The day you said that prayer, if you meant it, whew, new person in the spirit. New kid in heaven. Looks like Jesus. Created after the image of his holiness. Made in his image, containing and housing all this stuff from Jesus, the seed of the great tree. And so we've listened for years to all this crud the devil said about us. You're too short, you're too tall, you're too fat, you're too thin, you got two different color eyes. I don't like your hair. I do like your hair. Blah, 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 blah. How inconsequential is that? When what's really happening is you're a creature now from heaven that's dwelling in this mortal body, but you need to start understanding who you really are. And it isn't a pride thing. Like, I've seen people take this message and go, I'm royalty, and then they go, like, arrogant and cocky. That's no, 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 no. No, no, no. When you really come to understand, you will come to understand Jesus in you. It is a knowing who you are, but there is also humility because you know you're absolutely, you have a revelation, you're absolutely nothing without him. And somehow both of them fit together. And when you can begin to see that, then it doesn't matter what God asks you to do, you know you can do it. It doesn't matter what he asks you to do. It doesn't matter who he asks you to speak to. It doesn't matter where he asks you to go or what contract he asks you to sign or what large project, what large impossible thing he asks you to do. It doesn't matter because when he does that, what he's saying is, I know you can't do it, but I'm going to do it through you. All you have to do is learn how to yield the flow to me, right? I call it flipping the switch. I will flow through you to do the thing. It will be done gloriously, and everybody will think you're really smart. But in fact, it was me. And if you learn this, you can apply it to everything in life. Projects at work, raising a difficult child, writing a book, doesn't matter. I really can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, because it's no longer I, but Christ who lives in me. He's doing the work. But it's a learned process, right? We have to learn how to yield the floor. I said, we have to learn how to yield the floor. Tonight when I came in, I didn't have a plan. You know, before these meetings, Lori and I pray, we pray and say, okay, we have these sessions. First of all, who's doing which session? That's the first thing we ask. God gave us, okay, you're doing this, she's doing that, you're doing this, she's doing that, because he's building something, right? Then we sit with the Lord and we say, okay, what about the worship? What songs do you want to hear? Help us put it together. And we work on that. And tonight he said, you're not doing videos. You're not doing audio. You're just going to sit at the keyboard. Okay. Do I have a song? No. Do I know anything? No. Do I play well? No. Do I know what I'm doing? No. No, I don't. But I've learned how to yield the floor. Is it always perfect? No, but that's not his fault. That's maybe me screwing up. That's okay. I'm his kid. Right? It's a different lifestyle. And if you learn how to yield the floor, you'll get to where you can do it at work when you have a tough project. Or somebody's standing there at work and they've got a red face and they're yelling at you and you're quietly saying, what are you saying, Lord? What do you want me to say to this person? Right? And he gives you an answer that's so brilliant. I remember I was doing this contract up at Northrop Defense Systems, right? And there was this little Bible study in this other building. And I had made friends with some of the Christians, and so I would drive over there once a week and go to the Bible study. And I worked with some guys that were mockers. They were fun, but they were kind of scornful, you know? And so they had this pond. They liked to make jokes. And there was a pond called Lake Wally. It wasn't really, but that's what they called it. And they had dredged it out. They had emptied it out because they were going to do something. I don't know what. And I wrote this guy. There were two guys behind me and a guy. I was sitting at my desk and there was a guy sitting here and they were all making fun of the Bible study, kind of in a light way. And the one guy said, I'll tell you what. I'll tell him to let it freeze over and you can walk across and I'll tell everybody you walked across Lake Wally. Oh, they all thought that was funny. And I sat there and I said, Holy Ghost. And I just waited a minute. And then I kind of smiled and I looked. Now, all the other guys can't see me, right? But the guy who's mocking, he's looking right at me. And I smiled at him and I said, that's okay, but I'd rather walk across it when it's full. The other guys laughed and he went like I'd hit him between the eyes. Now, I don't know what his response was, but he knew that wasn't me. He was like, it was hilarious. I could have responded in a flash, but, you know, it's easier to just yield the floor. In the Holy Ghost, he's hilarious. I'd rather do it when it's full. They didn't mock me a whole lot after that. And especially he didn't. He never did. God wants to teach you how to work in tandem with the Holy Spirit until it is a regular thing for you to flip that switch. What are we saying now? What are we doing now? What am I supposed to do with this bill? What am I doing? And it does involve trust. Because you have to trust that he knows more than you do, right? But he will always make it right. He will always do it the best way. He'll always say what's the best, do what's the best. And there will be times when he'll say, don't say a word. Don't say a word. Remember when Jesus had to stand before Pilate? Remember? He opened not his mouth. His lamb led to the slaughter. He opened not his mouth. He could have said a lot, right? But the unction was on him just, you know, because sometimes when you talk, you're just casting your pearls before swine. And there's a time to just, you know, let them think what they're going to think, let her rip. But the Holy Spirit always knows. He always knows what's right. You guys okay? Not too weird for you? I've lost all sense of time, 8:45, or should I keep going? Are you pooped out? Okay. I'm hearing again new thinking and new thinking systems. God has taught me for some years that to change my life, I can change the way that I think. Because your thoughts are the seedbed, right? It's like a seedbed where you grow something. I wish I had my phone with me, but I woke up one morning, a week or two ago, and I'm going to try to get this quote right. Sometimes God speaks to me right when I first wake up. And I had been dreaming, if a dream can be a Disney dream, this was a Disney dream. It was like there was all these fun, like Disney-type characters, you know, lots of joy and fun. And I saw this, you know, twinkly, like Disney thing. And it said, out of only the best wishes can dreams come true. And I woke up and I went, what? Out of only, that's not the exact quote, but something like that, out of only the best wishes can dreams come true. And I said, Lord, what are you saying to me? He said, you quit dreaming. You quit dreaming for big things. You know, because life happens, right? Do you remember when you were young and you used to dream about stuff? Ooh, if I had this, and ooh, if I did that. And some of us, as we've aged, we've said, you know, it's going to survive, hallelujah. It's trying to get through it till Jesus comes. And God said to me, he said, you know, you stopped really wishing because you went through the death process. And then you're always just like, yeah, Lord, whatever you want. What do you want, Holly? I'm like, I don't know. Whatever you want. Hallelujah. And he said, I want you to start wishing again. I want you to start thinking about what you want in this life. And I don't mean carnal, you know, stuff, although that's not wrong. It's not wrong to ask God. Ask that you may receive, that joy may be full. But what is it that your dreams are made of? And when you do this, what you're doing, you're operating the seedbed, right? So what you do is you begin to think what you and God, if you could do something with God, if God could do something with you, and especially if he's made you a promise, what would you do? And then what you do is you think it through and you make a confession, you write a confession. And the way confession works is you're saying it as though you already have it. Right? You thank the Lord that you already have it. You say, but I don't have it yet. Well, but Mark 11, it says, all things whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe you have received them, and you shall have them. So you write your confession as though it's already done. We had some confessions, I don't know, when was that, Lori? A year or two ago. And we would sit every morning. They were quite long. And we would confess stuff over the ministry. I never saw things happen so fast in my life. Because we were just, thank you, Lord, that we have the right helper for this. Thank you, Lord, we have the right helper for that. Thank you, Lord, that this is an order. Thank you that we have the right sound. It was like, all of it. We were like, I guess we got to come up with some new confessions. Because how you think, it's the seedbed. Right? So God is, I feel like what he said to me is he's saying it to us. Begin to think again, begin to dream again, in God though, in God. Work with him on it. Come up with, what would you like to do, God? Here's what I'd like. Is that okay? Is that fit? See, I don't want to have a dream that's outside his dream. Because my life is hid with Christ and God. It would do no good for me to say, you know, I'd like to own land in Argentina if that's not what we're doing. All right? And I'm just liable to say stuff like that. You know, I love, well, you know, how about the Riviera? I like the Riviera, you know. Never even been there. So my point is I want to work my dreams with his dream for me. But then I want to begin to speak it because he does require that someone speak it in the earth. It's called framing your world by your words. Your words frame the world you live in. Okay? So I feel like God is encouraging us to see who we really are. Some of you, I'm just going to say it, I avoid this because every time I say this, there's always 10 people that come up and go, well, I don't feel called to that. Well, I'm not talking to everybody. So don't come and say that. But there are some of you that are called to preach, and you know it deep down on the inside. But not one person has ever really agreed with you or seen that in you. I want to say this to you. That's normal. Not one person ever thought I would be doing this, but I knew it in my guts. And God is saying to you, it doesn't matter what people know or what they think, or if they think, you know, even Edgar, he loved me, but he even said, I don't think you could preach, you're too quiet. Hallelujah, whatever. Right? He couldn't see it. Because why? We can't see somebody else's insides unless we're seeing in the Spirit. So you might look at somebody and you might not see that thing in them. You know, if God doesn't show me, I might not see it in you. So don't get mad at leadership in your church because they don't see the gifts in you. Don't worry about that. They'll see them when God wants them to see them and not before. And often God will hide you. I said, often God will hide you away until the chosen season. You know, he didn't reveal Jesus when he was 24. He didn't reveal him when he was 28. He revealed him when the fullness of time was come. He revealed him when it was time to reveal him. And until then, nobody knew. His own brothers didn't really even get it till later. So don't worry about what people think or don't think, see or don't see. There's someone in here, you are called to preach. God has put his hand on you, and when he puts his hand on you, it's because he's sending you out. You just stay under the hand of God and ask him to prepare you in every way so that when you stand forth to deliver, he'll deliver something that's a fiery word from heaven. Amen. Okay. Hallelujah. Laura, you got anything? I feel like I'm done with that part. Do you have anything? Okay. When I was laying down, Holly was at the keyboard, and I was really deep in his presence and just resting and loving and kind of like a baby, you know, just curled up. And I want to say out of nowhere because it really took me by surprise, I saw the eye of the Lord come. And how it happened was his eye was huge. And it came into this room. And then it looked in on us, and as it backed up, it was the eye of the Father, but then it changed to hold on. I thought I was just going to tell you what I saw. He's releasing something right now. I'm just waiting, okay? I have to read the scripture. For the eye of the Lord roams to and fro over all the earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are fully devoted to him. What I saw was I saw him come in and he looked in here and saw the hearts of the believers, all of us. And I saw him holding and caring for each one of us. And as I saw this happen, it was though it was a split second, but it felt like eternity. You know, I can't give it the time frame. But as I saw his eye, I saw like the iris, and I saw the white, and then I saw like a darkness around it. And as it backed away, it turned into, I can't say it. I don't know if I'm not supposed to. I'm just telling you, sometimes I can't say what you want, you know, what I see, and I think this might be it because I've tried twice. But I just want to tell you, you know, God is multi-dimensional, and you know, He takes on the face of, you know, the lion. He takes on the face of an eagle, and so I'm telling you that so much is going on in here. And some of you are so desperate for a life change, a lifestyle change, and you've tried everything. And I really feel like something happened tonight. There's been such a huge adjustment in the hearts. I saw Him attend to us individually, all at the same time. And there was no resistance. And as I was laying there, and as quickly as it happened, it was quickly He went back up. But as I laid there, I couldn't help but continue to feel the effects of the residue that He released into all of us. And when I finally was able to sit up, I started to look around the room and see, you know, I feel like we're all on a heavenly drip line right now. And you know that feeling when you come out of surgery, you're a little groggy and you're like, something's different. I feel like that's what's happening now. Some of you take this by faith and just believe that the Lord is ministering, and some of you struggle because you're such thinkers, and you want to know why. And I don't know why tonight He did this. I don't know, but all I know is He's always good, and He only has good for us. And I feel like there's more, and I really feel like I'm here, and this is the land of opportunity, and I believe it's this room in here tonight. You know, it's the land of opportunity, and nothing is everything is within reach. And whatever you're believing Him for, some of you forgot to believe. You got tired, like she was saying. You know, when you get tired in the journey, I love when He supernaturally just comes and does things, because half the time we're too dull-witted to realize that we even need the help. I can't tell you how many times supernaturally He's come and fed me or strengthened me or repositioned me. I see it a lot in the body of Christ. But I'm telling you, tonight, there is a movement in here for us, because it's His good pleasure to bring us into Him. And so whether you felt it or not doesn't make a difference. I want to say that. It doesn't diminish what is happening. And sometimes we get too head case, too, well, I didn't feel it, I didn't see it. Well, excuse me, Thomas. Sometimes I see the scheme of the enemy. It's hard to watch. But it's part of the call I have. I pray through that stuff. Sometimes we get caught up with nonsense. And what I mean by that, it could be, well, how cold it is in here. It could be, you know, did I really come and get everything I was supposed to get? The stupid seeds of distractions from the enemy. I'm telling you something. Tonight, God stepped in here. And He's healing hearts. He broke through resistance that you didn't even know you had. Because that's how much He loves us. Does He do it every day? I don't know. But I saw Him do it tonight. And I believe with all my heart that every one of us is never going to be the same. And I don't know what that means, but I'm believing that and I'm releasing that. And I felt like I needed to share what I saw. Do you have anything else? Okay. So when we leave here tonight, you're not going to get out of here and just go run off to McDonald's. I'm telling you, you're all sedated by the Holy Ghost. And the longer you stay in it, the easier it is. Effortless change is taking place right now. Those prayers that you've cried out, Lord, deliver me. You've got to change me. I can't stand the way I am. I don't know what to pray for. I don't know how to break through. Help me. Those prayers were heard when you first prayed them. I'm telling you, there's been breakthrough in here tonight. That's life-changing, life-giving. So when you leave, you know, be aware of where you've been and where you're going. Because it's up to you to steward. What I mean by that is, you can stay in this or you can go get out of it. It's up to you. God will not make you stay in His presence, in His glory. But when this happens, I like to linger and to go away. And so I'm encouraging you to pursue Him because He's pursuing you. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.